Bill Grieving, and I serve as the chairman of the USCP, United Sorghum Checkoff Program.
And where do you farm, Bill?
We farm in north central Kansas, Phillips County, just south Nebraska border. We farm wheat and grain sorghum and some corn and alfalfa in a no-till rotation. And we also raise livestock. We have a pretty large livestock operation.
Your presence here at the 2010 Commodity Classic, you represent the new, but still relatively new, Sorghum Checkoff. Tell me about your participation here and why it's important to be here.
Well, we feel for the Checkoff and for the NSP when we decided to come with the Commodity Classic that it gave us exposure. A lot of people don't know. We learned this last year in Dallas the first time. A lot of people didn't know what sorghum was. Sorghum, what's that? And these are farmers, but you know, if you're from the eastern part of the United States where sorghum's not growing, you probably wouldn't know what the crop was. So I think we've gained a lot of exposure. We've gained media exposure that we wouldn't have otherwise, and that's good for the industry. It's good for the crop.
And I'm told that the Checkoff is going to be good for the industry too, because it's going to be doing and is doing a lot of things right now. Bring us up to date, Bill, on what's going on.
The reason that we started the Checkoff in the first place was to, because research into the sorghum crop had been lacking. The large companies weren't doing a lot of research into the crop. And we felt that if we were going to be successful in this with sorghum crop, we were going to have to put together a self-help program, if you will. And we felt that going with a national Checkoff and versus the state Checkoffs, which we'd had previous, that this was a way to put together a bigger pool of money so that we could make a difference for the sorghum crop.
And you have pretty high participation, don't you?
Yes, that's right. All the states are participating. Now, most of the states, the two large states, Kansas and Texas, have discontinued their state Checkoff program. We have a couple of states, smaller states, that have continued their state Checkoff program in addition to the national program. And of course, that's their prerogative.
What are producers getting and what are they going to get out of their sorghum Checkoff dollars?
It's a very good question. And it's a question that sometimes can be a little hard to answer, because especially when you're talking about research takes time. You invest in a program, in a research program, it may take a few years to see some development. We have invested money in researching cold tolerance, to plant sorghum sooner to gain higher yields. We've in drought tolerance. Sorghum is a drought tolerant crop, but we think there's certainly with new ways of markers in sorghum that we're able to look at picking up more drought tolerance in sorghum. Another thing that's coming right now in the next couple years that started before the Checkoff started, so we can't, you know, necessarily take all the credit for that, is the over-the-top grass program. And that's a breakthrough that's probably, it's been 30 years since we last had a breakthrough in grass and shatter cane control in sorghum. And this will be coming, we will have seed on the market in limited quantities in 2012. And so a lot of producers, this has been a limiting factor for them in the acres sorghum they can grow and in our operation, the amount of shatter cane that they have to deal with. So we think this is something that's coming that will benefit producers. We have helped fund some of the studies, some of the plots that were planted last summer, but the initial research began at Kansas State University, and some of that funding was done through the Kansas Commission Checkoff. Prior to the start of the national Checkoff.
What about biotech?
We are not a biotech crop at this point in time. Will we go there? Yeah, I think we probably will someday, if that opportunity presents itself. There are some advantages to being a non-biotech crop. For instance, 2 years ago, we had a really good market for sorghum in Eastern Europe, because they wouldn't buy a GMO product and they had a drought, but that lasted 1 year. We think probably there's ways that we can increase yields in sorghum crop simply by doing some better management practices and things like that and working through the non-biotech, but we're not adverse to it, and it's probably something that's coming.
What about ethanol?
30% of our crop goes into ethanol. Ethanol is a very big market for grain sorghum. Grain sorghum yield, or ethanol yield from grain sorghum, is essentially equal to corn. So a plant can produce the same gallons of ethanol from a bushel of sorghum as they can from corn. A problem that we deal with on a constant basis with ethanol and the byproduct DDGs, sorghum ethanol or sorghum DDGs is red in color. That's because sorghum crops are red in color. Most of it, most of the crop is red. There's a perception that sorghum DDGs, because it's red, if it's a dried product, has been overdried and is not a good quality. Wet distillers, which is what we feed in our operation, in the cattle operation, is, of course, is not dried, you know, hardly at all. And by nature, sorghum is higher protein in the grain than what corn is, slightly higher percentage or so. Naturally, that translates into the ethanol or the DDG products. So therefore, the DDGs is actually higher in protein than what corn is. And but it's a perception that we're battling with our marketing committee, is to educate people, because some ethanol plants will not buy grain sorghum, especially in my area of the country, simply because cattle feeders won't buy the red DDGs out of the other end of the plant. So, you know, those kind of misperceptions, I should say, are something we deal with.
Well, that's something that you keep hitting on, and it sounds to me like maybe now you're positioned in a place where you can better educate and communicate with other growers and with consumers as well.
And that's the idea of putting all these state checkoffs together into one national checkoff. Now we're speaking with, you might say, one voice. We're putting a bigger pool of money together so we have the resources and the staff to be able to get that message out. And that's a real benefit of the national checkoff.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add?
I just thank you for the opportunity to get sorghum's message out there. And we look forward to another good year, and we'll continue to work. I would say, like to let the growers know that we will be holding a referendum on the national checkoff in February of 2011. And we are required by the act and the order through USDA, which we operate under, that within 3 years of the start of the checkoff, we have to hold a referendum. And producers at that time have a chance to vote whether we have, whether we continue as a national checkoff or whether we don't. And as a checkoff board member, I cannot say vote yes or no on the checkoff. I can simply, all I can do is encourage voter or producers to get out and vote. And that's one thing I would like to let the producers know, that that will be coming in February of 2011.
So Bill, how much goes into the checkoff for each producer?
The checkoff rate is a variable rate. It's 0.6% of farm gate value. And some people have asked, why did you do that versus a flat rate per bushel? And the reason was, and we're all producers that are on the checkoff board, we felt that producers, when prices were good, were able to pay a higher checkoff fee. When prices are low, they don't have to pay as high a fee. And that was the reason. It makes it more difficult for the sorghum board to budget year to year, because we have a couple of variables. You don't know what your yield, first you don't know what your planted acres will be, then you don't know what your yield's going to be, then you also don't know what the price is. So it makes it more difficult, but we feel it's fair to the growers that when prices are high, they're more able to pay a higher fee.
And are you getting that kind of feedback, that that's the case?
I think so. Our feedback, as far as the checkoff, has really been fairly positive. There's a provision in the act and the order that it's a mandatory checkoff up to the point of the referendum. And producer, if he wants to request a refund, he has to fill out the paperwork by a certain date after he sells the grain, send it into the office in Lubbock, Texas. It is held there, and if the referendum fails, then he will be paid back on a either in full or on a prorated basis, depending on how much is in this fund. And we are required as a board to set aside 10% of our collections into a fund that we can't touch until the referendum is held. And if it passes, that money becomes available for research and marketing and education.
Why do you like growing sorghum?
I guess because I grew up growing sorghum. I don't like the itch part of it. Nobody likes the itch part of it.
Is there any research on that aspect?
I was just going to say, and I'm glad you asked that, because that was a question I asked of Jeff Dahlberg, who was our research director on our staff. And Rich and his former, or Jeff and his former life was a plant breeder. And I said, what can we do to do some research on getting the itch out of sorghum? He said, I don't think you want to do that. He said, one of the reasons that sorghum doesn't have the issues with insects and diseases that corn does is because of that itch factor in the plant. And I never thought about it before, but it makes sense. And so, you know, we have a factor in our crop, or an attribute of our crop, that we haven't had to spend much money on developing traits to overcome them. So, and why do I like to grow?
From a risk management standpoint.
It's for risk management, it's a water-sipping crop. It's a crop that stands a lot of heat, and we have a lot of heat in Kansas in the summertime. And it will stand there and wait for a rain to come, and then it'll take off growing. It has the ability to kind of stop growing and not go backwards. And then when a rain comes, it'll be able to, green up and start going again.
When compared to corn, it is much different.
That's correct. Corn gets to a point, and when it starts going backwards, getting really dry, then it won't recover if a rain comes. Where sorghum has that ability, it can be damaged as far as total yield, but it'll still come back and produce your crop. So we use it as a risk management. It's also a crop that we can harvest with equipment that we plant and harvest with equipment that we already have for wheat. So we are able to hold our investment in equipment down by raising grain sorghum.
That's always good.
And grain sorghum is, we have a livestock operation. We run a lot of cows, and grain sorghum is a better residue for grazing cows in the wintertime. On the residue, we feel the cows seem to like it better than they do the corn stalks. So that's another reason we grow grain sorghum.
Thanks. I appreciate you talking to Brownfield today.
Okay. Thank you.